We are here tonight with Michael Kiske of Unisonic, formerly of Helloween. And Michael, just want to ask you for my first question is, what are you guys doing right now? What is Unisonic doing, and what are you currently doing right now?
Actually, I'm preparing for the live shows in South America. And we're doing lots of festivals over here in Europe over the summer. And I have to be, I have been singing today for 100 minutes. And after that, I did some extensive jogging. Which I have to do as long as I can, with ups and downs, probably aware of that. To raise condition, you have to have a certain way of jogging and stuff. That's what I'm doing at the moment. And interviews in between. And so do the others. They don't jog that much, but they jog on their instruments to get ready for the first Unisonic tour that we're starting next month.
Now, I noticed with this band, you have a pretty good lineup of people. In fact, I'm looking at the lineup. Acosta and Dennis from Pink Cream 69. You got Mandy Meyer, who's played with a lot of great bands like Asia and Crocus and Gotthard, just to name a few. And then yourself and Kai Hansen. You know, Kai obviously being a legend, and you yourself doing what you've done in the past. And, you know, how did this whole band come together? Talk about the formation of this band. And talk about how Unisonic came together as a band to record this album, and you know, just talk about how the whole thing came together for you.
It just happened. It's one of those things that I have discovered over the years. You can't really make bands for some reason. At least not bands that have some sort of magic going on. I mean, of course you can get together with people you know and have a 5-piece band, and everybody has his instrument, and it seems to be a band. But you probably know. What I mean when I say, to me, a band which is interesting is a band when the people are playing together, they're better than on their own. You know, you just gain something from making music together. It's very extremely like that with me and Kai somehow, which I have rediscovered, especially doing this promotion tour we did over here, is that there's this nice chemistry going on between him and me that I have almost forgotten about. We had that going on during the early Helloween years when he was part of that, and it's still there. It's just a bit more mature these days, or maybe not. Depends on how you look at it, but it is great fun, and we just there's a great chemistry going on, especially between me and Kai, and there's also great chemistry going on between Kai and Dennis creatively somehow. There's a lot of potential in this band. But what I was trying to say is that you can't really make a band. It just happens, and that's the way it happened here. As you said earlier, I knew Dennis from Place Vendôme, and I just thought he's a great producer, capable of getting songs in the right arrangement and stuff like that, producing sound. You know, he's just very capable when it comes to that. I'm not the best producer. I can create good sounds. But I think my stuff, when I do solo stuff, it works best when I keep it simple. Like almost singer-songwriter like. That works best.
Mm-hmm.
When I try to produce things in a way, I don't know, I'm just not as capable as Dennis or another friend of mine is, which I'm working on together sometimes. He was playing guitar on solo records. San Luigi Ampietro probably read his name on some of my records. He's also a great producer for me. So it's like that was the thing why I got interested in doing this band. I mean, Costa was approaching me more than 3 years ago now, I think, about this as a manager. He was saying, well, his first approach was, I don't think that you have been properly managed over the years, which was very true because I wasn't managed at all. I didn't have a management. The last manager that I had was Rod Smallwood, who's still taking care of Iron Maiden these days. Sanctuary Music, I don't think that they still exist, but Rod Smallwood is still taking care of business for Sanctuary, for Iron Maiden. And he was my manager up to 98. He just did not handle me. We always had a great relationship. There was no fighting going on or anything. I love the guy. I think he's a great guy. And we just decided that he didn't know how to deal with me, because I'm not the typical heavy metal musician in a way. So it's like that day on, I didn't have a management, and Costa was actually approaching me from that management point of view and said, I would like to manage you because I think you have not been properly managed. And shortly after that, the idea came up to do a band, with Dennis, because that seemed to be working quite nice on the Place and the whole thing. And then we thought about a guitar player, and Dennis just immediately said Mandy Meyer, who I didn't even know. I mean, I had a record, a Crocus record, from the early 80s, but I wasn't paying too much attention at the personal of that band, so I didn't even know that I knew his playing. But Dennis knows Mandy for quite a while, and it was just the first guy he had in mind, and I didn't argue with that. I said, fine, so if that's the guy you think is great, let's just meet him. And it was a good choice because it's just a great person, which is always the most important thing to me. Obviously a great musician, but he's also a very, very sweet guy. So that was that, and that's how we started Unisonic in 2010. We played two festivals, pretty big festivals to start with, 30,000 people, I think, both of the times. And it was pretty nice. We didn't have a record out then, so we played mainly Place Vendôme material. It all took a bit long, and at the end of 2010, I was thinking that we just needed another guitar player somehow, another creative force to speed things up a bit. But by that time, I was still not thinking about Kai, because I always had a good relationship with Kai, but I was thinking that he was busy enough with Gamma Ray, and I didn't think that he would have been interested. And then we had this Avantasia tour in 2010. It was December 2010, which was actually the first time after over 20 years that Kai and I were on a stage again. And we just, like I said earlier, we just had this nice chemistry going on between us. So we just felt that on stage and between us and the audience, and we just fell in love again. And we started talking backstage, that we got to do something again. And pretty quickly he suggested joining Unisonic. I thought that was the best option, because to do something fresh, I think, is much better than me, for instance, joining Gamma Ray or something like that. It's not totally my cup of tea. I like some other stuff, but I don't think that I would really fit in there. So it's like him joining Unisonic was just a perfect option. That's how it came together. Just naturally fell into place. It was not designed on a table or something, you know. It just happened. And for me it was just the right time. 2 years earlier, I'm sure I would not have done it, you know. It was just the right time for me.
Now, you didn't play or sing on a lot of tours, you know, for a very long time. And you
not
know,
at all. 17 years.
Yeah. Why did you just, well, you know, what made you decide to want to do it?
As I said, years. It's just years passing by. You know, the whole thing with how Halloween ended for me was a huge disappointment in many ways. I had experienced too many negative things over a number of years on the personal, on the human level, but also with the business. And I was like very, very frustrated about all that. And I almost completely lost my faith in making music like that. Not so much in music, but making music professionally. And for a long time, for a number of years, I was doing solo stuff here and there. But in the meantime, I was not paying a lot of attention to the music scene and to my career, if you want to say it, if you want to put it like that. I was dealing with other things. I was mainly living in books, really. I was studying lots of things which were important for me, and I was listening to music more than making music. And I had like phases where I wasn't even singing for like 2 years. Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
For a singer, not singing at all for like 2 years. I was kind of surprised when I realized that. I think it pretty much shows what kind of a state I was in. I was disillusioned and not really interested. It took a number of years. And I had my arguments with the metal scene, especially over here in Germany. I mean, the metal scene is different in every country, I have to say that. It's not the same everywhere. But over here in Germany, I have my fights with them because I disagree with many things. Artistically, you know, certain ideals that certain people hold up, they're inhuman ideals. I just don't go for that. You know, it's like it's just not what I believe in. I believe in humanity. I believe in the good things of life. You know, I don't understand when people hold up inhumanity, sort of fascistic look at the human being. You know, I don't like that. So I had lots of arguments, and like it all came together in this mixture of being pissed about it all, and not really wanting to have a lot to do with it. It took a while. It took a number of years until that kind of got easier, and I opened up a bit. Tobias from Avantasia was a big help, especially in 2010. I mean, he was. I think it was the first thing that I did beside my own stuff was singing on the first Avantasia record, as far as I remember. After that, I did a bit more, but I think that was apart from Gamma Ray. Yes, the first Gamma Ray record, I was also doing some singing on for Kai, but I think. Other than that, that was just my stuff, and then it was like I think it was 98 too when I did the vocals for the first Avantasia record. I had him call me Ernie on the record, which also shows a bit the state that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
It got a lot better when I did the Plasma and Dome records, which was going more into the rock direction. And since I have been playing live with Unisonic and I toured with Avantasia, and we met various countries. I think we started in Switzerland, then we were in Sweden, then we had a gig in Germany, then it was Tokyo, then it was Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, and then Germany again. So it was like single shows in various countries of the world and meeting audiences there and getting in touch with fans again. That was one key thing for me. I'm not that kind of person who's kissing butt, you know. It's like I'm a friendly person, but I just don't like saying things because people like to hear it or whatever. I tend to speak my mind, and I'm not saying this to slime or whatever, but meeting audiences and experiencing the experience, the passion that they have, and they're not at all satanic, you know. That's what I thought for a while, because of the image that comes across on the metal scene so often. The fans are different, at least the fans that are interested in the type of music that I was involved in the past. You know, it's like Avantasia is the same thing. The audience was just very beautiful, and that feedback that I had, like I will never forget the first live concert that I did again after such a long time, which was Sweden Rock in 2010. And after the gig, I mean, the gig went kind of cool. We had to start late because there was some trouble with some things falling down from the stage set somewhere. The gig went very nice, and after the gig we had a signing session. It was like people standing in line with all their CDs and records that they wanted us to sign, and that was the first time that I had like this rush of emotions coming from the audience, and that helped me a lot to have a different view at the whole hot rock and metal scene again. You know, I had a much negative look at it for a while.
Now, I have been a longtime fan of your music. In fact, I could probably go back and say, you know, in the 10, 11 years, 12, 13 years, actually, that I've interviewed you either on the show or for any type of website I was working on. You know, you've done a lot of really cool stuff. I've liked your solo stuff. You know, it's not metal, but it's cool. And, you know, talk about your solo career. Do you plan on doing anything else with it, you know, kind of like Readiness to Sacrifice or Instant Clarity?
Yeah, I mean, it was good that I did these type of records because I learned a lot during them. I mean, on one hand, the technical side of it, learning how to set up microphones, and, like from setting up the microphones to mastering the finished CD, I had to learn everything. You know, I did everything on my own basically. At least after the second record, and that made me learn a lot, which is a great thing. But it's like, I'm sure now that when we do have a less intense year with Unisonic, which will always be a bit depending on what Kai's doing with Gamma Ray, we have that sort of agreement, and that when he has a Gamma Ray year where he makes a Gamma Ray record or plays live, that Unisonic is going to be a little less busy and vice versa, you know. And in the year when Kai is concentrating a bit more on Gamma Ray, I'll certainly be doing something. Probably with my friend together on a much, much more interesting level. Because what you heard on my solo records, that's as good as I can be, I think, when it comes to be on my own. But together with Sandro, for instance, I'm so much better. When we do things together, it just so quickly falls into place. I'm pretty sure there's interesting stuff to come. I can actually guarantee that, you know. Like I said, it's a very new phase of my life at the moment.
Michael, I went and started listening to albums that you had sang on, and, you know, one of the albums that really intrigued me was the Amanda Somerville Kiske album. In fact, I was really surprised at how good it was. I mean, I listened to it, I liked it, but I really didn't pay that much attention to it until I found out I was interviewing you. And, you know, talk about that project, and talk about how that whole thing came together, and talk about working with Amanda Somerville on that entire album.
That was easy again because it was one of those Serafina projects. I mean, Amanda, I really like Amanda. She's like a great person. She has been on the tour with Avantasia too, and I think our voice matched very nicely. The production was easy for me because it's like you do many productions these days. I wasn't really involved in the main production. I had the songs. I got stereo files of the songs with her voice on it, and the gaps were where I'm supposed to sing, and another guiding voice track. So I just knew the melody, and I was just doing my part to it, which is the way you do many things these days. Because with the internet, you can do it like that. It was an easy recording. Probably if we're ever going to do another one, maybe next time we should do it a bit different. Maybe we should really be together in the studio, and record it together, which would make necessary to have a good portion of rehearsals before that. I don't know if they're willing to do that, but it might add to the whole vibe in the end. But it turned out pretty good. It definitely turned out pretty good. But if we ever do another one, I'm sure it's going to be better. If we improve on the recording process, you know. But it was a very nice experience to do that, and I think it's a good idea. It was a pretty original idea to have a duet with a male and female voice and that type of music.
Now, Michael, what's the response been like to this record? I've had a lot of great positive feedback from playing this record, this album onto my show over the past, say, month, and what's the response been for you? Because I'll tell you what, I really like the album, and many other people seem to like it. And talk about the response so far to this album.
It was very interesting. I mean, the first response we had was obviously when Kai and I did this traveling through Europe, including Japan, actually, just for interviews. That's when we had the first feedback, which was very interesting. But we actually charted over here with the album everywhere in Europe, almost everywhere. We went into the charts, Finland, I think, was even number eight in the official charts. Germany was 24. I don't know where it is now. I try not to follow it. It's for many other countries over here in Europe, you went into the charts, which is a very good sign, especially for that type of music. That was happening in the last 3 weeks. Before that, we only had that interview session, and that feedback was very interesting because. What I can say is when you record a record, you very quickly are lost in the details. You just lose the overview. You don't really know what's going on. And after a while, you just record the song. You just try to catch a moment and have as much fun with it as you can. But you don't really know, you don't have the distance to it anymore. So it is quite important to hear how it comes across to the listener who's listening to it for the first time, because that's something I can't do anymore, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting. anyone came there. I mean, I'm not listening to everything people say, of course, because I have my own kind of understanding of what makes music worth listening to and what makes music honest, you know. So it's not so much that you listen to what people say so you can squeeze your next record in a direction that might think better or anything like that. I don't think that works. But I am interested in how it comes across, you know. And the things that stuck into my mind were almost what you said earlier, that it seems to have a very nice vibe. It seems to have a very nice spirit. Many people say it comes across that there's a lot of fun involved and that we enjoy what we're doing, which is very important for me. And another thing that was interesting is that there was always two things coming up which are the total opposite to each other. There was one party that was saying, well, you know, you guys, like especially me and Kai, you actually now you continue where you stopped 20 years ago. So it's like what they were trying to say is that somehow this has a little bit of the spirit of, you know, the earlier Halloween years, which I wasn't even thinking about that. But it was interesting to hear that some people think like that. But mm-hmm. you also have the other parties who think the total opposite, who think like it has absolutely nothing to do with it. And I thought that was funny because, I mean, my explanation for that, that I have so far is that people who are more listening to the spirit know that there is some kind of the same spirit going on between me and Kai, so they feel like some kind of a connection to the old days. And people who are more just, what is it, not listening that deeply, you know, more looking at elements that sound the same, you know, like they would think it feels like the old days when we totally copy something, which we don't do, of course. I think that's the other side. Those are the ones who think it has nothing to do with it. Because, honestly, as long as I am myself, and as long as Kai is himself, and we do something together, it'll always have a bit of that spirit. I mean, we can't reject that, can we? I mean, it's just the way we sound. Yes, we're not the same. We have changed, and you can hear that. But the spirit is still there. And I thought it was interesting to see that, I mean, the people like the record. It's not that they didn't like it, but it's like this argument saying it continues where you stop with the Keeper Records, or it has nothing to do with it. I thought it was interesting how different that seems to be for some of the people, you know.
Well, it's funny that you mention that, because I wasn't even thinking Halloween when I heard this album. I mean, yeah, Kai Hansen is there with you, and he's in that band, but I don't think of Halloween like a lot of other people do. And, of course, both of you guys always get associated with that. However, I do have to say to you, one of the things that I find interesting is that, and one of the things that people don't realize also is that once you're in a band with somebody and things click really well, you know, say Kai Hansen, the chemistry is always going to be there. Whether you like that person, whether you dislike that person, whether you don't talk to them, whether, you know, it's been 20 years since you last talked to them, whatever, you know, bottom line is that chemistry will always exist. And, you know, as a musician, that's just something that you can never take away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing that I was always saying to anyone who was kind of disappointed that it doesn't sound like the Keeper records, I was always telling them, first of all, we're not trying to copy those records at all. We never tried to be Halloween. You know, we just wanted to be a new band and do what we do best, and try to make the songs as exciting as we can. But I always told them, you don't know if Kai would never have left the band what the next record would have sounded like. Because if you look at the history of those early Halloween years, the first bigger selling record was Walls of Jericho. I don't know if you know that record. You probably do.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that sold 100,000 worldwide, which was a huge thing for that company, for Noise in Berlin. But can you imagine what they thought when we did the recording of Keeper One? I mean, it sounded very different. I mean, it didn't have much to do with Walls of Jericho anymore. And they were kind of scared, you know, but that's what we wanted to do, and that's what we did, and we just immediately sold a million with it. But it sounded totally different. And the same goes for Keeper 2. It's not as, the step is not as huge as from Walls of Jericho to Keeper 1, but it was a big change too. It's like after Keeper 1, we did some, I think, two world tours, which gives you a lot of experience. You know, you just shape as a person and as a musician. I mean, I was 18 when I did Keeper One, and I did not have any experiences. And after that, we did like a year of extensive touring, and then we did Keeper Two. And obviously, you can hear that. And it sounded very different, Keeper Two than Keeper One. And if Kaya would never have left the band, sure, the next record would have sounded different to Pink Bubbles Go Ape. No question about it. But I don't think it would have sounded like Keeper Two. It would have sounded different again. So, you know, people should never expect bands to copy the past record. I think it's a very wrong thing to do, artistically anyway. But it is... Nobody can say what the next record with Kai and Halloween would have sounded like. It might have sounded like this, you know. You never know.
Well, Michael, I'm not going to get into the big tirade of asking you a bunch of Halloween questions that have been answered over the years. And, you know, knowing the band the way I do, and obviously interviewing you over the years, you know, a lot's been said, and, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, my question for you is this. I do have one question for you. And, you know, obviously, during the Chameleon era and your departure from the band, it wasn't the greatest of times for you, and I know there was some anger at some point, but, you know, they say time heals all wounds, and I have to ask you, over the years, I mean, is there forgiveness for you, and do you have forgiveness for the band, and does it really anger you anymore? And the other thing is, you know, what did you learn? Did you learn anything from that situation, and, you know, is that animosity gone?
Yeah, sure. I mean, when those years pass by, of course a lot of the anger is gone, but on the other hand, there has never been... I don't know how to say it in English. When you talk things out, something like that had never happened. I'm not running around full of hatred towards certain people. I don't really care, to be honest. I mean, that's more that describes my inner state better. I don't really care. I believe in friendship. And I think it's really the best to make music with friends, people you like and you can trust. And I have had experiences with them in a way that I know that they're not my friends. They don't give a heck about me. So I wouldn't care to make music with them anymore. But it's not that I'm running around hating them or something. Of course, when you get older, the wounds are healed. But honestly, I think it is quite necessary that one day me and Wycath especially meet up and we have a bit of a talk, as long as it is honest from his end. I mean, I'm always honest. I don't wear a mask. I don't care where. I would never wear a mask. With him, you never know. I mean, I've had my experiences with him, but as long as he would honestly would like to talk things out, I would do that. You know, that doesn't mean that I would make music with him. I don't. But just to get things out of the way, I wouldn't mind, you know. That never happened. So it's like a lot of things still, well, not really cleared, you know. So it's kind of stands still there as a bad experience that's not totally solved, even though time heals wounds a bit, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of people try to keep bringing that up. And, I mean, I just wanted to kind of set it straight. You know, it's over, it's over, it's done, it's done. And, you know, this Unisonic album to me is very good. I really like it. I think that there's a huge variety as far as the types of songs that are on it. And, you know, it's just a really inspiring thing, Michael. I mean, your work has really inspired me as not only a musician, but as a fan. And, you know, I mean, there's just so many really cool songs and great songs on this album.
And we're gonna extend on that. I mean, honestly, there's so much potential in this story that I fell into your word, but it's like, that was one of the things. I think it's a good start, but I think we can do even better than that. I mean, you see that. As long as we stay together and we have a good vibe going on, there's a huge potential in this band, and I really hope that we do a few records, you know. Definitely a good start, but it's like I think the main difference for the next record will be that Kai will be there right from the start and not just in the last 20 minutes, you know, which was a bit of the situation here.
Well, I've followed your musical career a long time, and again, Michael, I really, really am happy that we were able to do this interview because, you know, there's a lot that you've contributed over the years. Even your non-metal stuff, I mean, you know, I really got into that. when it came out. And I really think that you've done really well for yourself, and people like yourself are the reason why I do this show and the reason why I am a musician myself.
Yeah, thanks. It's nice to hear that. And it's great to see that you have an effect like that. I mean, for a long time, I thought I would have been long forgotten. I was kind of surprised when I got back into the scene about the feedback. I mean, I was surprised it's maybe even too small. Sometimes I was really overwhelmed with it because I did not expect that. I don't know what it is, why, you know, especially the keyboard records linger on that long and have such an effect, even on younger people these days. But maybe it's quite good not to analyze it, you know. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because I enjoy what I'm doing, and I always did it with total confidence. It's my only explanation that I have. But it definitely is great to hear that, because just like as a closing comment, maybe it's like there's two types of impact you can have in terms of liking a musician. One is you like the music, you put on the record, you like the music, well, great, you know, but that's it. And another thing is, you put on the record, you like it, and it inspires you to do the same. It inspires you to start singing or forming a band or play the guitar or whatever. And I think that's even better to have that impact. I mean, that's why I'm making music these days, because of other musicians inspiring me and thinking, well, that's a great thing to do. I want to do that. You know, I think that's the best thing you can accomplish if you inspire people to do the same. You know. So I love hearing that.
Well, again, I mean, like I said, you're the reason, people like you are the reason I do this show. And I'll tell you what, you're the reason I like to make, people like you are the reason I like to make music.
And it's good for you. Making music is good for you.
Well, people like yourself should be really proud of the stuff that you've done over the years and really be proud of the fact that you've inspired so many people over the years. And I think that's always a great thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I started to realize that, which is really great. It definitely is great, and it's always the best when people do what they do for out of passion, for the reasons that you're describing, whether that's making music or doing a show, a TV show, a radio show, or a magazine, whatever it is. If you do that for passion, out of passion for the music that it's about, I think that's the best reason of doing it.